Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery, Q&A, entertainment, nationwide extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Should I have warmed up before the program started?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, Jimmy, the mute button is working, right? Because that'd be really unprofessional. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org, and please keep the stories coming. When you run into something and you hit your forehead, send it to Wretched. idea@wretched.org. To the mailbag we go.
All right. From Anonymous, he says our elders, I don't know if it's a he, but he says our elders have been very quiet on.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't continue. If are going to be that misogynistic and sexist by assuming it's a male gender, if there were such a thing, I don't know. You know, can I just tell you, the world is And I really don't mean this like in a happy way, but they're so miserable. They're so joyless and they're so unhappy. Did you see the story? Matthew West, he's a contemporary Christian guy. I don't know much about the fellow. I think I remember some of his music years ago, but nevertheless, he is old enough now to have teenagers, daughters specifically. And so he did a parody video called Modest is Hottest. And unbelievers just shellacked. Oh, you're so sexist. You're being so oppressive. It's a joke. But the world just doesn't laugh. And there's a reason for it. They have no joy down in their heart. And their system is oppressive. And it is a yoke. And it is a burden. And it doesn't create what we Christians should have in spades. And that is joy. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That's okay.
You right. Misogynistic, sexist, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal Christian!
You done?
Pretty much.
Okay. this letter comes from Anonymous, like I said, and he or she says that they have their elders have been very quiet on CRT. Their pastor has called out the different tenets of CRT, such as oppressor versus oppressed, but has not denounced CRT by name. And he's wondering if that means he's actually embracing it. And what should he do?
You know what? Excellent question, pastor. Here's my 2 cents. You must talk about CRT, critical race theory, and you must absolutely denounce it when you think it's best. I think that we need to recognize this is a danger for the church that is an imminent threat. And anytime Luther said, if I'm spot on with all of my theology, but I never go after like the big thing, I'm paraphrasing, then he's considered himself a worthless man of God. When there is a big thing, I'm not saying that everybody who comes to you that tells you, hey, this book was pretty, you need to talk about this book. No, sir, that's your call. You make those decisions. You don't need to be a heresy hunter calling out every this and that. But when there's a biggie, when there's a lion at the door, well, sir, that is when the shepherd kicks it into gear and lets the people know this thing is a danger. Having said that, we need to allow the pastor to lead as he sees best. And so, for instance, just from this letter, which doesn't give us a whole lot of detail, we hear that the man is already talking about oppressed and oppressor. Well, it's clear if he's saying those categories are to be denounced, that is a great thing. And that's really positive. And that's a pointer for the direction that he's headed. Why isn't he just coming out and saying CRT? I believe he should when he thinks it's best. He knows the dynamics of the church. If he is a shepherd who smells like the sheep, he knows what's going on. He knows where people are at. He has some considerations. And we need to give him grace to do that. So let's do both of those things. Encourage our pastor to be bold about it, but to encourage him to use wisdom as he does. There could be many of those reasons. He fears blowing up the church. He thinks that at this moment, the church is not mature enough to handle these things. He perhaps has a lot of people in the church who are very pro-CRT for some reason, and he wants to get to them privately first and work through it with them before he jumps into the pulpit, gets misunderstood, and then he has himself a catastrophe. So it could be a myriad of things. Pastor, please, when you think it's wise, denounce the CRT and send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Carissa. That's an interesting name. She says, or wants to know, do you, Todd, feel like the Road Trip to Truth Bible study would be okay for an older group, or is it best suited for youth?
Both. The nice thing about Road Trip to Truth is that we produce that series in a way that it aims at youth. We didn't treat them like they are youthful knuckleheads. So the subject matter, it's respectful, it is deep, it is theological, it is unapologetic. It's just put into a package that is more eye-appealing, which is what our goal with this series is. We want it to be shown on networks, and it is. It's being shown on networks all over the world right now as we speak, to introduce people who might just go, it's just like one of those preachy shows. Okay, we want those people to stop. And we want them to engage so that they love preachy shows. And so an older person can watch it and not go, this is just for the kids. It's not, because it's not typical evangelical youth fare. Road Trip to Truth, Season 1, it is out. It has a study guide. It is available at wretched.org/roadtrip. It is good for kids. It is good, I think, starting 7th grade. You could argue 6th. But definitely 7th grade till death is the demo for Road Trip to Truth. By the way, as we speak, the gang is out and about. Right now, they're holed up in a cabin somewhere in Georgia where they're doing the stand-ups for Season 3. That's right, Season 3. You will see Season 2 late this fall. Season 3 is being produced as we speak. And by the way, I'd like to thank John Fabares for causing me a great deal of pain. He's the host of Road Trip to Truth. I'm driving down the street because, well, you drive on streets, and that's where you're supposed to be driving your automobile. And I looked, and I saw a guy who looked a lot like John Fabares holding the hand of a woman who looked a lot like his wife. So I started yelling at them. Let me talk to you. Warm up. Don't just start yelling. If you're going to go to a game and you're going to yell your fool head off, don't do what I did and just jump right into scream. John! John! I'm yelling. And then it felt like my vocal cords went through a paper shredder. Don't make that mistake. That's right. Vocal tips here at wretched.org. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, Todd. Hello.
And by the way, can I tell you something else too?
Please.
We get to see John about once every, 6 months, 8 months, something like that, when he comes to town to work on these shows. Little Johnny's growing up. He done got married. They're expecting their first child. And he's just starting to just sound a little bit more manly. Our little boy's growing up. He's kind of a wunderkind. Whippersnapper. I think he graduated at the age of 20 from the Master's University magna cum laude. Yeah, he's a smart one. And he does a bang-up job at Road Trip to Truth, available at wretched.org. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I interrupted myself again.
That's okay. From Landon, he says, hello, Mr. Todd. How can true believers be led into false doctrines and error if we have the Holy Spirit?
because we live on this planet and we don't always submit to the word. And false teachings can be put together in a clever way. They can come really close. The more time you spend with theology, the more you realize, oh, I see what they did there. Oh, that's why that heretic came up with it. And it was not always obvious to the people at the time. Remember, angels of light do not introduce heresy with a calling card that says heresy. They're subtle. They try to sneak it in, and so they do. And people can be deceived for a season. But after a season, and that season needs to be determined individually, they should be introduced to the truth so that they denounce the heresy. So that means we need to be careful. If you know somebody and they're starting to believe something that's a little bit wonky, don't completely punch the panic button. I mean, you need to be concerned for sure. But if you approach them and they hear you and they respond and go, oh, thank you so much, and they denounce what they were kind of chasing after, that's because they're a believer. If somebody persists with the heresy and goes, nope, don't care what you say, I'm going to be a modalist, then you've got somebody who is never saved in the first place. Remember, false teaching, it's always slippery. That's why we've always got to know the true really, really well. And send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you for joining us today on Wretched Radio. You know, science makes some pretty big claims to having the cure for every emotional and mental issue affecting the human race. But the methods they employ cannot give you hope. It's just talk therapy and medication. Long-lasting help and hope will only be found in the Bible. And that's why we commend to you Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, available now in the Wretched Store. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is a 63-lecture series that biblically confronts issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. The Bible's ability to diagnose and counsel those who are struggling will likely stagger you into the realization that life tends to work much better when we follow the plan God has laid out in His Word. So get your copy now of Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 at wretched.org/counseling3. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling His promise to build His church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, He is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 Little Disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
All right, so what's something that you think, but you know you shouldn't say out loud? I'll go ahead and say what I know all of you are thinking, and that's most Bible studies are boring. That's right, it's true, and you know it is. But now there's a solution to that enigma, and it's getting yourself a new Wretched Bible study. With our new Wretched Bible studies, you'll find that you can dig into God's Word and not feel guilty for feeling bored. The Wretched Bible study curriculum is derived from our resources Drive-By Marriage, Drive-By Parenting, Drive-By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. And I know you're thinking, yeah, well, Jimmy, you're biased. Maybe, but don't just take my word for it. Try one of our studies out for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical. wretched.org/study.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history.
Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many. But you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Pardon the information overload. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send emails to idea@wretched.org. You can remember that address. So wherever you are, whatever you are looking at, you think it's wretched, send it to idea@wretched.org. While you're on your computer, please consider visiting Medishare.com. You want more data? Call them. Call Medishare. I mean it. Call Medishare at 844-34-BIBLE. They're nice, which is a rarity these days, and they will quickly let you know what you will be saving every month as a part of affordable biblical health sharing. Have you noticed the pagans are ripping off this Christian concept? Even unbelievers now are formulating organizations for health sharing. Why are they doing it? Because they've seen that it works in the Christian community. MediShare, the leader, you will save on average $500, 400,000 and growing membership, $3 billion of medical expenses shared amongst believers. And you'll be saving every month. You'll have peace of mind. If it's right for your family, you'll discover that at Medishare.com or call 844-34-BIBLE and then send an email to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one comes from Anonymous, who says he was baptized by a woman and has come to find out that she has a lot of unbiblical views. So he's wondering if he should be baptized again.
Today's word is efficacious. What makes a baptism valid? If we answer that question biblically, then we've answered Anonymous' conundrum. What makes a baptism valid, efficacious, is that the individual has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is acting in obedience to make a public testimony that he has been crucified, buried with Christ, raised up into new life, just like Jesus Christ went down into the earth. We go down into the water just as Jesus resurrected, so too we will be resurrected, and we go from death to life spiritually. That is what baptism pictures. It is a picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. If you have faith and it is administered with an in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to get fully immersed. I think that's the most biblical picture. I wouldn't quibble with you too much if you just poured, perhaps. But as long as it is done in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you have faith, then the baptism sticks. And you don't need to have it redone because the person who did it turns out to be an apostate preacher, somebody who fell away from the faith. The individual who does it doesn't do anything. It's not, they're just not a part of the formula. If that were the case, yikes, a lot of people would constantly be in trouble. And what if you never discovered that the person who baptized you was apostate, but they were actually a false convert? That means your baptism wasn't good and you died without being baptized. That's kind of silly. Furthermore, communion being distributed, somebody's a believer or not, obviously, we want them to be believers. You do the best that you can in assessing that, but if somebody hands you the wafer and they aren't actually saved, or it turns out, hey, what, they like Rob Bell, what is that all about? Don't worry, it's efficacious, not because of the one who administers it, but because of God himself. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, Matt says, or wants to know if it's appropriate for him to ask his pastor where he stood on some of the issues from the SBC up to and including how he voted for president.
Yeah, sure, of course. Lovingly, respectfully. Absolutely. If you go in, you know this. We all have this intuitive sense. Somebody's genuinely asking, or they are loaded for bear and they're looking to get into one. If you're the latter, don't. But if you're the former, you just wanted a pastor, hey, these things are big, these things are important. If your church is an SBC church, I do think you need to be taking a close look at what's going on and aiming for some accountability with some of the things that are transpiring right now in the SBC. These are big issues going on. CRT, big deal. Plagiarism, used to be a big deal, should be today. Find out where your pastor stands lovingly and respectfully. Nothing should be off the table. Just do it in the spirit of wanting to know, not to get into a tussle. That goes for everything. And by the way, not just your pastor. You've got an issue with another believer. You want to ask another believer a question. That's cool. That's what most church discipline is all about. We disciple one another as we go. We just need to do it in a spirit of meekness, humility, respect, honor, putting the best construction on everything, hoping the best, wanting the best possible outcome, and then ask away as long as we do it lovingly. Please send your loving email to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Recently, John says he was recently in a discussion where someone said that there are not any false teachers because it's not our job to judge someone else's doctrine or interpretation. So he's wondering if you have any insight that he could share.
Yeah, the book of Jude, the book of 2 Peter would get the job done most certainly. The words of Jesus Christ letting us know that there will be false teachers among us. You could take him to pretty much every book in the New Testament but one that talks about the issue of false teachers. Why? Because they're a danger. They're a threat. And the kindest thing we can do from every single perspective is to point out false teachers and, when appropriate, do it by name. Why is that the most kind thing? Well, it reveals that we love the Lord. It reveals we love the Bible. We love truth. We love people who could be sucked in to their heretical vortex and find themselves in spiritual danger. And we even love the false teacher, him or herself. And we want them to be saved too. Therefore, the kindest thing we can do, and we are commanded to mark those which cause division contrary to what we have learned and avoid them, there is judgment involved. It is our job to judge people. We're commanded to do it. John chapter 7, just judge righteously, not Matthew 7 style with a big log in your eye. We judge righteously, but judge we must if we love. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, coming from Josh. He says he's been working in the student ministry for the last 10 years, the last three as a part-time youth minister. He says he feels called to full-time ministry, but he wants to be 100% certain that it's God's calling. Do you have any advice?
Internal and external. Those two words will guide you just swell. Your internal call is, I got to do this or I die. If I don't become a pastor, I'm going to be miserable all the days of my life. Then you know you've got an internal call, but you need an external call to affirm that. Who gives that shout out? Your local church. When your pastor and elders go, yeah, we've been watching you. We've noticed, and we've been actually thinking about it. We see that you have the qualities that are needed and demanded of a pastor. There's your external call. If you don't have both, you don't have either. That is how you know this is the importance of the local church. And this is why, by the way, if you are thinking about becoming a pastor, but you are not deeply involved in your local church, I'm not so sure you're being called right now. Why? Because you are not demonstrating your love for the local church. You don't yet see the value of the local church. This is yet one more instance of the importance of being engaged in a local church. You can't know if you're called without them. So let me just do a double shout out. You haven't been baptized. You're a believer. You haven't been baptized. Get dunked now. Tell the pastor it's urgent. He says, well, we aren't doing baptisms till 2022. Say, pastor, I'm sorry. I need to be obedient fast. You can be somewhat reasonable, but it does not need to even be a formal ceremony. You need to be obedient, because if you're a believer and you know that you've been commanded to get baptized and you're refusing to do it, you haven't done it yet, you are living in sin, and you need to get on this with urgency. And then I would suggest to you, once you're baptized, and this goes for all of us, become a member of a local church. If you're not, you're in spiritual danger. You are riding the spiritual range alone, all alone, and you're going to be worse off than the Ancient Mariner. Become a member of a local church. You say, I can't find one. I say, find the best one you can and join it. But it just drives me nuts. Yep. Church can do that. Regardless of how sound, I promise you, whatever church you think is the ideal church on the planet or that comes the closest, I promise you people annoy each other there too. And decisions that elders make are going to get up your nose. That's the way it works. Why? Because that is the context in which we grow in holiness so much. We have to put up with all of those people there, and they have to put up with you and me. And it is good for us, and it is our safe place, and it is the beneficial place, and there are 1,000 reasons why you should be a member of a local church. Once you get baptized, of course. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a new software from like-minded parents called Canopy will help families stay away from pornography, sexting, and nudity, which has invaded online platforms and social networks. Much like its name, Canopy closes all the doors that online pornography and nudity may penetrate, including the dark web, through its use of artificial intelligence, which makes it 99.7% accurate, as touted by the company. According to their website, Canopy is a project of a tech company from Israel named NetSpark that is composed of like-minded parents who have converged decades of experience. Canopy has 2 versions, one for children and one for adults. The software is said to already be in use in over 4,000 schools and installed in more than 2 million computers and gadgets. Who would ever believe the people at CNN would be bullies? No, not CNN. And I'm sure some of you may have even witnessed what happened earlier today. Co-host of CNN's New Day, Breonna Keeler, started a segment by noting the controversy between teachers' unions who were embracing critical race theory and the parents who were pushing back against it. Well, then she dove straight into mockery of those parents who protest CRT. She called them ignorant and brainwashed. Which is kind of funny and ironic if you think about it, because those parents are likely saying the same exact thing about her. Well, 9 months after losing in federal court, the city of Washington, D.C. has agreed to pay more than $200,000 in legal fees for a church that sued over restrictions on religious gatherings. Capitol Hill Baptist, pastored by Mark Deaver, sued the city last year over rules that banned religious gatherings larger than 100 individuals. In October, District Judge Trevor McFadden sided with the congregation, and this week, the city agreed to pay $220,000 in legal fees for the church and also promised to abide by Supreme Court precedent during any future outbreaks. Well, the first Christians to be punished under a newly amended law in Iran aimed at halting the growth of Christianity and other religious groups were sentenced to 5 years in prison for spreading, quote, propaganda against Islam after they refused to renounce Christ. The 3 men charged have 20 days to appeal their verdict. Along with increased prison terms, the new law in Iran allows the state to take away certain basic rights, such as voting, for as long as 15 years. As we tell you almost daily here at Wretched, please make sure that you are praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1962. Second Vatican Council begins, the most significant council since Trent. It will promote new attitudes and practices in Catholicism as Rome seeks to address the modern age. After Vatican II, priests perform the Mass in the local language whilst facing the congregation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, welcomed. When you send them to idea@wretched.org, this is Wretched Radio, hoping that if something is on your mind, you will send it to us and you will get to hear Jimmy's dulcet tones reading your email.
Well, this one comes
from... Could you use your dulcet tones?
No. All right. This one doesn't actually come from my idea. It comes from Facebook. They want to know, what's with you always wearing suits and ties?
Well, I don't wear them all the time. You know, I don't wear them to bed, but I do.
How do we know?
Trust me on this. There's actually a lot of reasons that I do this in no particular order. Well, my age. Used to dress a little younger when I was a little younger, but now that I'm over 30, Now that I'm over 40, Now that I'm over 50, it just seems to me that an adult male should dress like an adult male. I am really driven a lot by Titus chapter 2. There is one word that leaps out of a list of characteristics for a godly person, for a mature male. We're dignified. I want to dress appropriately. I think that's a part of it. I don't act foolishly, do childish things, or wear clothing that is not befitting of somebody my age. And I think we all need to be mindful of that. Does that mean that everybody needs to dress like me? Yes. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. It can have different expressions, different places, and at different ages. But it should be dignified. So that's one reason. Another reason would be that while I recognize fully this is not church that we are doing here, we're talking about God. And that's earnest. It happens to be in a venue that is on TV and on social media. And I notice that people who are doing these types of programs get dressed up when they're talking about lesser subjects. Why wouldn't a Christian who is talking about Jesus Christ a lot present himself in a way that says, hey, this is actually important? And so that's why I do this. Believe me. Yeah, are you kidding me? The reason, my short attention span, it's either a genetic thing or it's because I don't get much oxygen to my brain because the tie is cutting it off. So it's not like it's fun to do this. But I think what we're doing is important. And I think that at least I should present myself as believing that it actually is important. I might add another reason. Friel, we've got the point. Another reason is you. I respect you. When we're talking about Jesus, and this is any setting, it's not just us, it's in your Bible study, it's in your home. When you're talking about the Lord, these are big things, these are important things. And so I want to honor the Lord and I want to respect you and not treat it like, yeah, I just tripped on into the studio and here we got this loblolly put together for you. Okay, this isn't entirely fair because I'm sure he cared. So that's not the point of this anecdote, but I remember years ago, the first time I saw Rush Limbaugh doing his program from his hideout in Florida, wherever he was stationed, and he always had like a golf shirt on. And I remember going, well, doesn't he care? Now, please note, I said he did care. But that was my impression, because when he goes to the White House, he puts on a suit and tie. When he's doing his own radio program, really cash about it. And that sends a message. And so that is why I put on a suit and a tie pretty much every day, but I don't wear it to bed. Whew. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org. Unless you just want to post something on Facebook and Jimmy shares it.
That's what I do.
That'd be fine.
All right. This one comes from Mina. She says, or was wondering if you can explain Mark 16:17-18, what is meant by a believer showing the signs that are being described?
Yeah, there's two things about that section of scripture that need to be considered. And I know this has the potential to scare some people. So let's do this one thoughtfully. Mark chapter 16, I believe starting in verse 9, give or take. By the change of the Greek language, the dates of the manuscripts, it appears that we have a pretty decent chunk affixed to Mark chapter 16 that wasn't in the original manuscripts. Don't freak out over that. It doesn't compromise a single thing. Why? because there's nothing about Mark 16, 9 through the end of the chapter, whatever numbered at 20-something, that contradicts anything else in the Bible, including Mark 16 and 17. It's go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And these people, these believers, are going to be doing these signs. And then it gives a list of those signs. Speaking in foreign languages, I prefer that term over tongues. It avoids a lot of confusion. Speaking in foreign languages, did we see that? Check, Pentecost. They'll be able to handle snakes. What's up with that? Well, didn't we see that happen with Paul? He was bitten by a snake. Was he on Miletus at the time? At any rate, he was bitten by a snake. Everybody was waiting for him to keel over. He didn't. Why? Because the Lord protected him. It was a sign of the integrity of the one who didn't die, who was preaching them the gospel truth. There's also drinking poison is in the list. We do not see that one in the New Testament, but we need to at least recognize these things that are being described in Mark 16, 17. Now, these are apostolic age issues. These are special things that were a one-time sort of affair, and those things no longer are in play for us anymore because we don't need them. You don't need a pastor to hold up a snake, have it bite him on its neck, and not die. You need him to hold up the word of God. It's a more sure word. I promise you that if all we had were drinking cups of poison or getting bit by snakes to affirm what we believe about Jesus Christ, the world would be very quick to go, yeah, parlor trick. Yeah, they did an inoculation. Yeah, well, it wasn't really. There was some sleight of hand involved. They didn't. We have the Bible, and it's better, and it's inescapable, and it silences the mouth of the world and brings them guilty before God. So those signs that were listed there, if we want it, and I do believe, by the way, we should treat that section of Scripture. It's there. It's been there for a long time. We treat it as if it's the Word of God, recognizing the manuscript issue and seeing that those gifts that are listed in Mark chapter 16, 17 are for the apostolic age period. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
Adam is wondering if he is wrong for opposing that his church shows secular movies during church services and then tries to put a biblical spin on them. He said some of the movies they show contain witchcraft and other demonic content that he does not allow into his home. And he wonders if he's wrong for having an issue, number one, and also feeling like he should find another church.
I'm focusing specifically on whether it's time to skedaddle. I would say this, to try to be as thoughtful as possible about this, my inclination would be if the church is orthodox, but they're pulling stunts like this, they're showing movie clips as a part of the church service, using a movie as the sermon text. This is going on all over evangelical Christianity. That church is way wonky. That pastor is bordering on utterly clueless about his mandate to preach the word in season and out of season, to protect the flock and not be a showman. Is it time to go? Most likely. What would I do? I would give it one go. Pastor, I want to talk to you about the movie business. I want to understand where that comes from. How do you justify that in light of the imperative to be a man of God who preaches the word, rightly dividing it, a workman who will not be ashamed? How do you square this? Do you plan on stopping this? Will you repent of this and start preaching the word? And if you just get a slippery sort of response, then it's time for you to scoot. Because a church that has that low of a view of the Word of God, and that's what it is. If you think you need a Hollywood motion picture to keep people's attention, that pastor is simply not qualified to be a shepherd. He's not. Because if you can't make the Bible interesting, you got the wrong gig. You're in the wrong field. You are not qualified. And there's no shame in recognizing that and acknowledging that. The shame is staying there and pretending. Or not working like a nobody's business to get equipped to become a man of God who rightly cuts the word of truth. So I would give it one go. And depending on the response that you get, if it isn't a full-throated repentance of showing movie clips instead of preaching the word of God, then you've got a church that has more than one hole in the boat. It is leaking. And if it isn't already sunk, it's on its way to the very bottom. How do you find a good church? That's a good question. Would like to share with you some principles in doing that if you're on the hunt right now. Next on Wretched Radio. This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $28.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry, that would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched.
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. And sadly, these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while things like logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. When you look around, you see Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. And our newest resource, Wretched Worldview, seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather together to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Topics like capitalism, global warming, eugenics, politics, and so many others are discussed not to tell you what to think, but how to think these things through biblically. And Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copies right now at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So you're hunting, are you? This is Wretched Radio. How does one find a sound church? It ain't easy. There are some websites that are really helpful. For instance, the Master Seminary. Visit there. Go find a graduate who's pastoring, hopefully near you. Go to that church. Safe bet. You could go to founders.org/church-search. Hopefully there's a church near you. Is it a perfect list? No, it's not. But it's stout. There are other ways to find a good church. And I have these for you because I was at heartcrymissionary.com last night. I got sucked into a Paul Washer vortex. Somehow he popped up in my feed on the YouTube business, and I found myself re-listening to the shocking youth message. Wow, that is a pistol. That's sinners in the hands of an angry God, is what that sermon is. If you've never heard it, go Paul Washer, shocking youth message. It will shock you. I don't know why I'm laughing.
He's talking to you.
Exactly. Oh, and I even watched the backstory to that. He had been at this conference, about 5,000 Baptist kids at a youth conference that he was invited to preach at, and he was watching them do the wave, and they were passing bodies on top, and the kids are running for the altar calls, laughing and giggling, and he was grieved by it. So he gets up and basically opens up a blowtorch and lets everybody have it, and he scalds all of us in the process. It is a gem, and so many people have been saved from it. So I'm at his website, and he has Church Finder. Disclaimer: because we're a missionary society, we're unable to personally recommend any churches. Besides, it doesn't matter what website you go to. There are people who just sneak onto them that shouldn't be there, and you might discover not so good, but there are some websites that are better than others. However, if you're searching for a biblical church, the following resources may be helpful. Sermon Audio, Local Church Finder. If you're not familiar with Sermon Audio, you should be. You go to Sermon Audio, and you are going to have an ocean spill out of your phone because it has thousands and tens, hundreds of thousands, I think millions of sermons. I think it's got millions of sermons. And a lot of really good. I mean, most are really, really good. Why? Because they're a little bit stricter on who gets to post stuff and who doesn't. So you can go to Sermon Audio. Founders Friendly Churches, that's founders.org. The Master's Seminary Alumni, that is also a reliable source. You could, I wouldn't put this one up as far by any means, but if you're in one of those pickles where it's like, nothing's coming up, man, we live in the middle of nowhere and there is nothing. I mean, there's some churches around, but nothing. You could try Nine Marks Ministries, a little broader in its scope. It is not as robust a theological statement as I would prefer, but it could be a helpful resource for you down on the bottom of the list of mostly reliable websites. Go find one, join it, and if you can't find one, start one. And please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
You hear that? That's the sound of thousands of pastors rushing to Sermon Audio to steal sermons.
Oh. No, they don't do that because those are good sermons. And the guys who steal them, they want the whiz bangers. Hey, church, good morning. Get ready for the series on Power Talk. That's right. Power Talk. Do you ever feel intimidated by people? Well, this talk is for you because this is about talking with power. Not bad, eh?
No, that was good. Have you practiced that?
I'm selling it. I'm working on it. I could use a little revenue. So I'm thinking.
All right. Well,
getting in the game. Here's a question for you.
Okay.
The year right now is 2021. What year will we stop making plagiarism allusions? Will we ever get to that? I'll tell you, if the SBC would deal with it earnestly and transparently, yeah, then I think the wisecracks would stop.
Yeah.
But I think until then, you're going to see meme after meme going, what's the deal with dealing with plagiarism?
There's more and more that's going to continue to come out if they don't deal with it.
I get it. It's an ugly situation. I get it. But the right thing simply needs to be done, and not even discussing it. Now, look, we can debate what should happen, but to not even put it out on the floor and go, yeah, we realize that this is something here and we're going to investigate it. I think until then, yikes, that's just like it's not the only sign about the health of a denomination, but it's not a good one. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one is from Anonymous, and he wants to know, should he repent and find some way of rectifying because he lied to Google? He said Google continued to pester him with the notifications wanting his date of birth, And he just got tired of it finally. And so he lied to them. And now he feels bad about it.
Yeah, I get that, actually. I don't know if this is true of every believer. And trust me, this is not a brag because I am fully aware of what a lying scoundrel I was. Lying to me, it's like it's really, really hard. Just if even when it starts to kind of get close or it's in the ball, I'm like, yeah. And I think that should be true for all of us regarding the issue of truth, because that's what's at stake. Truth. God is the God of truth, and he loves truth, and we should too. That means whenever we think about telling a lie, it should be abhorrent to us. So I get it. Would my conscience be that scrupulous, however? Because here's the context. Google, in order to use the Google machine, they want some information, your birth date. And you don't want to give it because you happen to be one of those crazy, insane, capital-burning QAnon morons. Because isn't that what we're all labeled as these days? Who thinks that maybe they're tracking us? I get that. I get that concern. And so in order to use it, you just falsify some information. You know, the option is you just don't. You don't use it. I'm having a hard time justifying it. I get the context, but there are contexts where the issue of truth has to be examined a little bit more carefully. And it's not because truth is alterable, but because whether the nature of the question or the conversation is just itself. In this instance, they have the right to ask it. And if you don't want to give it, I think the better option is to bye-bye Google and go use something else then if that causes you to stumble. And I get why it would. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. Is that too scrupulous in your opinion, Jimmy?
No. No. Do you think it is?
You know, it feels like it because, you know, I get it. It's like, I don't want to get, I just want to watch the video. Here, yes, I'm 18 years old. Whatever.
I think if you're minor, then that's a different story. But
the level, the issue isn't lying. The issue is truth.
Yeah, that's true.
And that calls us up really, really high. And this is one of those really small ways. And believe me, it is a small way where we sacrifice for the Lord. Okay, I don't get to use the Google machine. Okay, Lord, I have to be a truth teller. Now, what's the worst case scenario? Somehow, in God's economy, if we discover in eternity, that wasn't a big deal. So what? I mean, you didn't lose anything. Trust me. You didn't lose anything. There are options, after all. And you offered a sacrifice to the Lord that I believe would be well-pleasing. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, especially if you disagree with what I just said.
Michael is wondering if you know offhand if the Bible explains where Jesus was when he defeated death between Good Friday and Easter.
Yeah, I think it actually does. And I recognize why people go, what's the deal here? Didn't Jesus preach to those in prison? Yes. Didn't Jesus, however, say that today you will be with me in paradise? Yes. Okay. Did he go to hell and then he went to heaven? This is not an orthodoxy issue unless you believe that Jesus suffered for your sins in hell. That's a heresy issue. But if you just believe that, yeah, he did that, he went there and proclaimed it, then maybe he went up to heaven where he did both things, kind of a twofer. Another option would be that he went to heaven, he was in heaven proclaiming victory, and it was heard in prisons in hell. Why do we think that Jesus descended into hell? Well, that would be the Apostles' Creed. Please note that particular parenthetical almost, that he descended into hell, was added, I want to say, 7th, 8th century, that neighborhood. And historically, we've understood hell to mean Sheol, like into the ground, the way the Old Testament so frequently uses the term, that he descended into the ground, but the original intention wasn't hell. That was imported later. You can debate the history of it, but you do need to note it wasn't like one of those immediate agreed upon sort of affairs. Two different Christians can have different takes on this issue. I personally think he was in heaven because today you will be with me in paradise. And the proclamation and the rejoicing was so great. It was heard in hell. And as long as you don't think that Jesus did go to hell and suffered for your sins there, then we can all get along. Can't we? No, not when you talk about the Google thing with your name, we can. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.